last week when I finished, Laurel Beck came up and said that she had learned a specific way of doing the Ten Commandments. And if you're a visual person, I think it'd be most helpful. Well, I have no light. I knew it was going. And so I've asked her to come and show you how she did it. Or does it? Got 10 out of 10.
In order.
Yes.
So you guys are going to learn how to do this too. So I want you to put up your fingers and look at them.
Yes.
Okay, so you're looking at them. We're going to start. By the way, I learned this with Teen Missions International. So if you have children or grandchildren or nieces and nephews looking for a short-term mission trip, tell them to go to teenmissionsinternational.org. Okay, shameless plug.
Say that again.
Teen Missions International. And they teach you 40 memory verses that I still remember. It's been 20 years. Okay.
Can you speak a little louder
for me? Okay. Teach your kids to go on a mission trip with Teen Missions International. Okay. 10 fingers.
I'm going to put this up higher for you.
Now, the first commandment on the Ten Commandments is going to start with your right thumb, so you can put the rest down. We're going to start with your right thumb. Because there's no other God but God, that's the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. God, you are awesome. You are the only God. Awesome, right? This is God. There are no other gods before you. That's the hardest one. Number two. It's supposed to remind you of an idol, the second idol. You shall have no other idols before me. Number two. Number three. Now, if you put up your middle finger, it's considered a curse. Do not take the Lord's name in vain. Number three. Number four. If you count from this hand, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, keep the Sabbath day holy. Number five is a little kid. Looks like a little kid on your hand. Honor your father and mother. Number five. Number six. Looks like a dagger. You can kind of kill people with it. Do not murder with your hand. Number seven. Because of your wedding rings, do not commit adultery. Okay. Number eight. Do not steal. You can steal with your middle finger. Do not steal. And number nine. You look at yourself, do not lie, and then you can make a C, do not covet. And those are the 10. All right.
It might help, Laurel, if you would write those down, and we'll pass it out. I have another way of doing it, and I'm going to show you at the end if I have enough time. We're all basket cases. We need help. But I thought that there's some really cute things there with a different. See, what am I doing? Oh, okay. Father, we thank you again for your word. There's so many rich blessings in Genesis, Lord. Help us not to read over what you're trying to tell us. Help us, Lord, to get a real grasp of you as creator, not only as creator, but as our Savior. You're an amazing God, and to think one day we're going to stand in your presence. Oh, God, help us to aim at that direction with our lives, Lord. May they be honoring to you. May others see how we walk with you. Now, Lord, I pray that you might be our teacher and our guide, for I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. That was on this morning.
I don't want to do it.
Oh, you guys, probably didn't like seeing another chart again. It was on. Yeah.
I'm worried about it.
The point of that being back in your lesson again is that I want to have you see how Jesus Christ fulfills everything through creation and also into our lives. And so we take it a step further. He's the light of the world. He's the living water. He gives new life. Now, you may not have gotten these like this. That's okay. But the official one there is Son of Righteousness out of Malachi, if you wanted something out of the Old Testament. But it would be just fine if you wanted to liken that to Jesus being the bright morning star. You would take that out of Revelation 22:16. I like to go back in the Old Testament and pick these up. But then all the sea life and fowls. There were so many birds, and the seas were full of animals. Just amazing. And it reminds us of the riches we have in Christ, that he supplies our needs. And then all animals, including man. Please remember, Jesus is the second Adam. Adam sinned and blew it. Christ came as the second Adam and did everything, including dying for us and our sins. So that would be kind of an official list. And of course, Sabbath day, we find our rest in Christ and the cross. I don't know. I had a lot of religion until I was 31, then I was dragged to a Bible study. But I knew when the day I received the Lord that I had arrived. I had found my peace, that the Lord was there. And you stop your struggle. how much you want to put into the Sabbath rest, I leave that in your hands. I think we should honor the Lord one day a week. Your health may be suffering because you're busy and doing things 7 days out of seven. And the Lord has told us to take one day and rest and to take it as unto him. How far you want to go with that. You know, there's things we can do the other 6 days of the week, but please honor him. So that nasty old chart is really got a purpose in it. And now we can see with our lesson that the week of creation is almost finished. The stars are in their place. The earth is green and beautiful. Everything was ready and waiting for God's final work of creation. For there was no one to enjoy or rule over the beautiful earth and the living things that filled it. No one to discover all that God had created and the secrets that he'd put into it. Do you realize we're still discovering things that God has done? We have no end to it. You know, things are so complicated from a protein molecule that Kate was trying to explain to us that man can't reproduce, down to our DNA. Everything is very, very complicated. We are not simple at all. And so God made Adam. He did not say, let there be man. But the Trinity came together, let us make man in our image. And he formed man's body. He formed the physical characteristics of man. God himself made him, and then he breathed life into him. And I was thinking about this. He just took dust of the ground. And where do you think our Creator began? Did he start with his skeletal system, making bones? It's kind of fun to think about this. Or how about his heart? And all the vessels that go with that, your veins and arteries and all the, it feels like gallons of blood. You think your heart beats 40 million times a year. Everyone says, thank you, Lord, thank you, keep it beating. what an amazing muscle your heart is, if you just take a minute to think about it. How about the 300 miles of your nervous system that can keep you up at night? Or do you realize that your eyes have 1.5 million messages that they can take in? When I read that, I thought about that, and I was just looking around my bedroom and I'm saying, that's true. We discard a lot because our brains just say, well, that's not important. But think of all of the scope of what your eyes can see. Your eyes are just an amazing creation. We can see all those things at the same time. Then I was thinking about the finishing touch with Adam. I wrote in on my notes, don't forget his hair. But how about his ears or nose or his mouth? Truly, we are fearfully and wonderfully and lovingly and personally created. When God breathed life into his nostrils, the breath of life, and a man became a living being, all human life became sacred because it came directly from God. It's really a call to us to treat all people with respect, because all human life comes from the Lord. That means from the criminal over here to the person that's really brilliant. All men are created equal, not in abilities or opportunities, but in the eyes of God, because all men derive their lives from God. You didn't like those fill-ins, I can tell. G-O-D. I mean, that wasn't too hard. But I was thinking about this, and I think, you know, evolution really is what causes prejudice, because it's saying somebody is better than somebody else. And if God had favorites, obviously he loves Asians more than anybody else, because there's more Asians on the face of the planet than anybody else. And next in line would be black people, because that's the next number. And if anything, we wimpy white people are on the other end of the deal. But you see, life is sacred. That's what's so beautiful. And that fact that you're sitting here breathing and living and your heart's beating, oh, what an act of God. God not only gave you his life once at creation, but he gave you his life again at Calvary. God the Creator became your Savior, dying on the cross to offer you forgiveness of sin, that you might come back into the relationship with him for which you were created. That's an amazing thing, you know. I think if I were in charge, I would have said, you know, you blew it in the garden, you're done. That's how where I'm at. But what an amazing God we have. And to think that we've trashed him year after year, saying that we evolved. Now, I have two older sons that I thought might be missing links. They were terrible growing up. One of them's a missionary in Indonesia, and the other one's a dentist. I mean, they became human someplace along the line. Yeah, evolution is true. Yeah, I'll tell you. I'm going over these lessons, and I keep thinking of things my kids have done, and I think, oh. So, when God breathed into Adam, he had something that had not existed before, eternal spirit. You know, we have a picture of Michelangelo reaching out to God, kind of with a limp hand, and then God reaching to him to touch him. But that's not scriptural, because God breathed life into Adam. He gave him a God consciousness. Please note the animals were made after their kind, but man was made in the image of God. Man was created having perfect knowledge. That I sit on that thought and I think, man, having perfect knowledge, wouldn't that be great? You could ace all of your exams everything you ever did. But I think that's coming back to us, because we only use about 5 or 6% of our brain. I think Adam probably used all of it, and he had understanding and insight that you and I cannot have. God has blocked that for a reason. We'd be in all kinds of trouble if we still used our whole brain. 5-6%, well, some of us have maybe a little less. But definitely we are not ape-like. Just get that out of your thinking. There's so much, I don't know about you, but I've been seeing the thing on TV. They keep looking for him. I wish they'd stop Bigfoot. Looking Bigfoot. Can you imagine that? We would descend for something like that. Anyway, man is different from the animals in that he possesses self-consciousness, understanding, and reason. Animals feel, but man thinks. Animals have instinct, but man has a will. You have to remember the two things that God gave wills to both rebelled. And one was the angels, and the other is man. And don't our wills get us into a lot of trouble? Oh, my. Animals make sounds. Man has language. Man is superior over all creation. He is a rational, moral, spiritual being. He lives to respond emotionally and intelligently, to reason, to plan, to invent, to build, to respond to God and communicate with Him. You've been built to worship God. How are you doing with that? Try to have a little bit every day. Just go in your bathroom, lock the door, get down on your knees, and just worship Him and give thanks to Him. We see man is a trinity. His body gives him an earth consciousness, his soul gives him a self consciousness, and his spirit gives him a God consciousness. Just like God is a trinity. Man's moral likeness to God was lost when he sinned, but regained at new birth. Now there's five things that God instructed Adam and Eve to do in chapter 1, verse 28. And of course, I kicked myself for quite a while on this one, because this would have been a great question for you. I think I just went right over it. But in 1:28, it says, God created him male and female. Remember, chapter 1 is a summation. And then when we get into chapter 2, you're going to find more details. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on earth. That is an incredible occupation that God gave Adam and Eve, and I'm sorry I missed it. But I thought about it. I thought, what work has God given or assigned you? To establish a home, to strengthen a marriage, to lead a family, to go to the mission field, to teach a classroom. How about a prayer warrior? Or maybe perhaps bring comfort to a sick person. Now, did you notice that Adam observed, while he was naming the animals, a problem? He'd have Mr. and Mrs. Hippopotamus, and he'd have Mr. and Mrs. Giraffe, and he'd have Mr. and Mrs. this and that. And you know what? He didn't have anything for himself. So he went over in the corner and sulked and said, God, you didn't do this and you didn't do that. But, you know, what was the Lord doing? He was creating a desire in Adam for a mate. And no, Adam didn't go over in the corner and seek and so he knew God was going to supply him. And so what did God do? He had the first surgery. There was a little anesthesia there. He just kind of put him in a deep sleep. Then he took a rib and fashioned a wow of a woman. And we pick up how Adam responded to that, but I think he had a big wow when he saw her. In 2:23 it says, "And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She should be called woman because she was taken out of man." How beautiful. She was to be his helper, his support. So God performed the first wedding in paradise. We're going to notice as we go along, paradise doesn't make everything right. So environment is overrated. Anyway, God was the first wedding planner. Can you imagine? Matthew Henry has a wonderful statement, and I wish all men had this, but they don't. It says, "Woman was taken from Adam's side, not from his head to rule over him, not from his feet to be trampled on, but from his side to be with him, from underneath his arm to be protected, from close to his heart to be loved." Isn't that cool? A man wrote that. That was really good. But don't try to squeeze blood out of a turnip. A lot of wives just really want their husbands to fulfill them, and only God can fulfill you. And that's why we look at those days and look at Christ through those days, because he is the one that fulfills us and provides for us. God says he will give you the desires of your heart, but he's with that promise comes that you have the desires that he does. Then it says man was to have dominion, and it's important to understand that word dominion because it means lordship. All things were to be under his authority. That means all lower forms of life were subject to him. He was the keeper of the garden, co-worker with God. But he lost his dominion and his lordship when sin entered the human race. But one day, that's going to be restored. And I would like to give you the verses out of Isaiah 11. Verse 6, it says, "The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat." I'm sorry, it's kind of dark here. "And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." Can you imagine? "The cow and the bear shall graze." Can you just even get a grasp on that? "And the young ones shall be down, lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox." He won't be a meat eater anymore. "And the nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt any more or destroy my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and the waters cover the sea." I just think that's so amazing. It'll be fun. I could picture, if my kids were little, coming home with a lion and saying, "Mom, can I keep him? Can I keep him? Follow me home." "What does he eat?" "Straw." "Okay." Can't you just see it? Excuse me. I love those verses. Because our dominion will be returned. We don't have it now. Dominion's been lost. A little mosquito can drop a person down with malaria or that a river blindness and all kinds of other diseases. Just a little mosquito. And then when you think about how much problems when we have our first rain, guess about probably about 25% of us will have ants in our kitchen. Because they don't like the rain, so they come in. And you can't just stand there and say, "Would you please go outside again?" One day I think you'll be able to. So, no, you have to kill them, don't you? You spray them and then all the rest that goes along with that. Very sad, I think. And we don't have any control. Do you remember those vivid pictures we had of the tsunami that hit Japan? You know, it still stays in my mind. I think, oh, I wonder how they've come through that. And yet they were prepared for a tsunami, just not good enough. And then how about earthquakes? You know, there's going to be one on such and such a date. Yeah, really. Man doesn't know much, does he? And the killer is that there's a terrible thing on TV. It's called Fatal Attractions. Don't watch it. But I got attracted to it. I think it was Saturday when I saw I saw a bison. You know how big they are? This guy was coming down the street in the back of this man's convertible. And the owner said, oh, he likes to feel the breeze in his face. And I thought, he's going to rend and kill him because he doesn't know. They have people that die every year in Yellowstone because people think they're kind of harmless. They're not kind of harmless. God has put that fear in them, and that's what we have to respect that. So if your child comes home and says, this lion followed me today, just say, well, let's call the zoo and take care of him. Don't take him in. Anyway, fun things to think about. There is a verse in today's lesson that just blew me away. And I think I read this a lot, and then I see this, and I think, you're not reading very carefully at all, Elizabeth. You need to read more carefully. But in chapter 2, verse 8, it says, the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Don't you find that amazing? Who planted that garden? God did. That's cool. I can just see him out there, you know, getting his hands dirty and just digging up the dirt and putting in beautiful plants and trees and all that good stuff. Can't you just see it? He wanted it perfect. Planting flowers, fruit trees, shrubs, grass, everything spectacularly, exquisitely, and perfect. A profusion of color. You know, God just is into gardens. I'm sure he just had just great joy planting all that in beauty. And then there was a mist that came up from the ground to water everything. And then there was a lovely little river that went through it. And can't you just see the swans and the ducks and the deer coming down? And then I just kind of blew it for myself and said to myself, yeah, and there's the Tyrannosaurus Rex coming out of the water. No, I don't think they were in the garden. Anyway, I hope you have a good time with these verses. We can't be hard and fast about anything because, you know, we're all learning. But just like that little verse there, God planted the garden. I how many times have I read right over that? And then I suddenly saw it. I could just see God doing it. He blessed the man, and he told him to be fruitful and multiply. And you and I know from the New Testament how we can be fruitful. You think, well, that's just having sex and having children? No, there's fruitfulness in so many ways. John 15, 1 through 17, how are you and I to have fruit? Is by abiding in him. And then I just have to go over to Galatians. Because we misread this purposely. I think I still have Galatians. Here it is. Galatians 5, we're to produce fruit. Oh, not just have children? No, not just have children, but we're to have fruit. I know. We're to have love, joy, and peace. Period. No, the next word is what? Long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's the kind of fruit that the God is looking for in us. How you doing? How you doing? So, I have to ask myself, am I a garden of fruit? The first home in Eden was not only beautiful, but it was blessed to be a blessing. How's your home? Is it a place of beauty, comfort, safety? Can your husband come home at night and kick off his shoes and feel comfortable? Do your kids come home and have a glass of milk and some cookies ready to go? It's so easy, see, to look at our society and say, what a mess our society is, and I'm pretty good. Let's say we're not. And my fear is that we need to repent. We need, as the church goes, we need to repent. We're really missing the mark because we compare ourselves with ourselves, and that's a foolish thing to do. But then I started thinking about all the trees that were in the garden. Wow. And you'd pick something and the tree would die. It would keep growing. Apples and pears and peaches and cherries and oranges and pineapples and bananas and mangoes and papayas and all that good stuff. How about coconut, palm trees, palm dates? Think of all the berries. Strawberries and raspberries and blackberries. Why, you could get diarrhea over it all. No. Sorry. Then I was thinking about... I have an active mind. I was thinking about the melons, and I think God created a watermelon just to see what Adam would do with the thing. I'm so glad somebody created little ones. That's just about right. Anyway, and then I was thinking about vegetables. I know two vegetables my kids would not have allowed to be in Eden. One was eggplant and Brussels sprouts. I could not get my kids to eat those. Now they're gourmet cooks, and they don't bat an eyelash, and I just watch them. But I remember my youngest son, he'd take those Brussels sprouts and he'd put them around his plate, underneath his plate, and as the dinner progressed, his plate got higher. Like mother couldn't see that. Now all the cheese sauce in the world wouldn't make them any appetite. And by gosh, eggplant, I cooked it a million skillion different ways, and I thought if I just chop it up fine enough, they won't find it. No, there'd be little piles. It's just the texture, and if you haven't grown up from a child with it, you just don't develop it. Anyway, those are my kids. Anyway, but does your home have a bounty of food for emotional satisfaction? As you offer love and discipline and forgiveness and a listening ear, oh my, how your kids need a listening ear and an understanding heart, a bounty of food for spiritual satisfaction as you feed daily on God's word. You love it and you live it. You don't preach it. Is your home physically satisfying, a place of rest, a place of relaxation? What kind of fruit are your children eating within your home? A diet of nagging, complaining, anger, bickering, gossip, impatience, meanness, selfishness, or rudeness? Or are they learning to be loving when somebody or someone is not lovable, to have joy when there is no fun, to have peace in the midst of pressure? How you doing, Mom? To be kind when treated roughly, to be unselfish when they don't get their way, to forgive when they are wronged. How easy do we make it for our children to be healthy? How easy it is to say, out there is bad, but then we don't look at ourselves. Well, I have 2 minutes. Let me give you the Ten Commandments. I like Laurel Beck's best. Why do I think it's important that you and I know the Ten Commandments? Because Jesus gave us two, and oh my goodness, you were clever with those two. Oh, I got everything from the Golden Rule to I don't know why. That was kind of fun. Good try. But Jesus said to love God with your whole heart and your whole soul and your whole mind and your neighbor as yourself. And there's a couple of things I just have to say quick. If you don't love yourself, you do. Because you take care of yourself. You combed your hair this morning, you put on lipstick, probably brushed your teeth, took a shower maybe, you got your clothes on, you do take yourself. And that's what God wants for you to do with your neighbor if your neighbor's in need. Just help take care. You know, it's no big deal. But how do you love God with your whole heart and your whole soul are the first four commandments. And I do it this way. Bins. it's so easy. I can't forget it. Know the gods before me. No graven images. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. And remember to keep the Sabbath day. All of those is how you love God. And I like to put a pillar there for parents. And I want to give you the fact that God says, and you have got all kinds of things on this too, to honor your father and your mother. It doesn't say to love or anything else. It says to honor them. Respect would be another word that you could use. And the question is, if my parents, like mine, my dad left when I was 10, my mother became an alcoholic, it was very bad. So how do you learn to honor your parents when they're not honorable? It's that you honor the position. It's the same thing with your husband. You honor his position. God holds him accountable. And let's get the rest of it. I'm going to run out of room. I know, I can't pronounce it either. But the first one would be murder. It's not a sin to kill in self-defense or to be in the military and go to war. If you were considering killing your husband, God might say that that would be murder. And adultery. And what's this one? Stealing. Good. And the T stands for testimony. Don't bear false testimony against really anyone. That would be, I always think of a court situation. And the last one is don't covet. And I don't know how to do it any other way. But see, once you have that, you've got it. So it, they say there's five different terrorists coming across our borders, that we have Islamic people in high places, and if they should move to take over, we will not have our Bibles. Now, I don't know what's coming. I don't know what's ahead. But if you didn't have your Bible, what do you have that you've got in here to hang on to? And if we don't love the Word of God, how can we expect our children or our grandchildren? Hey, this is the DVD I saw that I saw already gone. This says that 70% of our kids have already checked out by junior high in our churches because they don't know how to defend their faith. And so each of those questions that was on that little questionnaire, I'm going to try to stick in until we get down to how do you defend creation? How do you defend your faith? It's really important you and I know how to do that. And the thing that just breaks my heart is I think I only had two or three that said intelligent design. I mean, there's your answer for creation, intelligent design. And no one wrote it down. Well, almost nobody. Okay. I just feel like we need to be rooted and grounded and founded in the Word. I don't know how much longer. Maybe the Lord's going to rapture us all this afternoon. That'd be great. just in case. I don't like what's happening in our country. I don't like it at all. But I can't lay the 70% at the Sunday school teachers' feet and blame them. I blame us first. And I think it's important to know the Ten Commandments because Jesus summed it up with two. Be sure you get the right two. Father, we thank you for your precious word. Lord, you've made everything. You've made it very intricately, very beautifully. You've woven it all together. And you didn't throw up your hands and said, now what will we do after Adam and Eve sinned? But you moved forward and you became not only our creator, but our Savior. What a great God you are. Help us, Lord, to have adoration and worship for you every day, that we might be mindful of you every day. And help us, Lord, where we were falling down in our homes or with our friends even, to be more like you, to be rooted and grounded and founded, and that we might reflect you from day to day. Oh God, I am most needy. You begin with me, Lord. And I simply give you all the praise for how you're going to speak to us this coming week. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Did you see the news?